I'll be doing a continuation of the zodiacal series of Capricorn. Now, as of the 22nd of December to the 19th of January, we're more strongly exposed and under the influence, you could say, of the energies of the constellation of Capricorn. Now, the symbol for this sign is the mountain goat. And just as a reminder, on the website or on the post for tonight's show, you'll see the image of, or one of the images of Capricorn. And this is portrayed or painted originally by Joffre. And I generally use and refer to these images for explaining the sign because he had a lot of esoteric influence and he'd done reading and research into a lot of different traditions, and so his interpretation of the signs are pretty spot on. So if you didn't know, the element of Capricorn is earth. It's a negative sign or a feminine sign, and it's a third earth sign. So it is earth in resolution and earth in revelation. And so it's also another way of saying it is it's one of the cardinal signs. So like an initiating type of energy or principle. So Capricorn is ruled by the planet Saturn. And the archangel of Saturn is Orophiel, if you're interested and know of the different types of angels that exist in our solar system. Now, Saturn is the planet of death and becomes exalted in Capricorn. Saturn's also known as Cronos, who is the elder of time. Now, there's many reflections that I'd like to make in tonight's talk, particularly of death. Death is something we can always pay to reflect on, but also of life, because both of them are inseparable. We like to separate death from life and to see them as opposites, but they are really two sides of the same coin. Now, Capricorn rules over the knees, the bones, or the human skeleton and the skin. Now, even when we look at the symbology of the skeleton, normally is associated with death. So death, or the ray of death, you could say, is something that we are all going to encounter. It's something we cannot avoid. And in a way, it reduces us to our bare bones. It reduces us to that which we are and how we lived our life. The values that we've acquired are what we are at that point in death. We're not our theories. We're not our opinions. We're not, definitely not our possessions, our material possessions. What is real and sustaining through death is our values, our psychic matter, also known as our essence, but we can also call it the ego. So the ego and the essence are very similar. They are our psychic matter. Our essence is more free, unconditioned, has the potential to become liberated, whilst the ego is more of our conditioned essence, and it's not liberated. It has very predictable behaviours and chains of events, and often leads us to acquire karma in our life. But it keeps us sort of acting in a mechanical and predictable type of way, the ego. And we're very interested in studying the ego because of this, and we learn and work to achieve liberation by understanding the ego and liberating the essence from its entrapment or its conditioning. Yeah. So on the topic of death, it's said that when we're born, we are deposited a certain amount of values in our three brains. So the three brains of the human machine, and these are the intellectual center, or in our process of thinking, the emotional center, our center of feeling, and our motor center, so of actions and how we move. So when these values become exhausted or we run out of them, then death happens. And so it's said that often we die in thirds, so whatever center it is that we use the most of, we will essentially die to that center first. So if we overuse the body, we have a very physical job, then we may end up not being able to move, and that's the way we start to degenerate. Whilst if we use the emotional center a lot, we could suffer from heart related conditions. An intellectual center, if we don't use that correctly, then obviously there's a lot of intellectual things or symptoms that can develop, Alzheimer's, dementia, and yes, so we're looking at this more from the esoteric, holistic point of view, and not simply from the, oh, you know, I've got the gene for or heart failure, or it's inherited through the family. We're trying to look beyond that holistically, how our actions actually affect our body, you could say, and our life. So they're all intertwined. I was having a conversation today about how we become like our parents. So I'm not sure if you notice it, maybe not when you're younger, because when you're younger you try and do the opposite of what your parents do. Well, not all the time, but sometimes we go through that rebellious stage. We want to develop our own individuality, and so we do, you know, whatever we think belongs to us as an individual growing up. But then we get older, and we may observe that we start to do things, react to circumstances like our parents do. And this is interesting, because we, therefore, if we're acting like our parents, of course we will also acquire, or most likely acquire, the same illnesses, because we're thinking similarly, feeling, acting, and of course the effect on our values and our physical body is going to be similar. So it's not that difficult to kind of track and understand why that happens through our families and this thing of hereditary traits. So beyond what I'm saying, beyond just our genetics. So interestingly enough, I was reflecting, and I think it was the first day of Capricorn, because that was the 22nd of December, I was reflecting on the process of aging and of death, and how when you look at that process of aging, it can be, well, it often is something that we don't look forward to. We think, oh, you know, our mobility is reduced. We're not able to do things as we used to. You know, maybe depending on how well we look after the centers of our human machine, we might not be able to think as well or as quickly as we were when we were younger. And yeah, all these things that happen, you know, at some stage we you know, need to be looked after and cared for, and you know, we go through processes not being able to control our bodily functions and all these things. And I was reflecting on this and how we can become so attached to our life as a youth, to perhaps, you know, what we can do and achieve, our energy levels, you know, the way we look, our appearance. You know, we might want to be forever young, but the process of aging and ultimately death, it allows us to not be so attached to one particular frame of of a perspective. So we don't become attached to this body or this, you know, this mind, this way of feeling and acting. It allows us to detach from that because it ends. Who I am and who I identify myself as now isn't going to be the same, you know, at 60 or 70 years old. In fact, I'm not going to be the same in 10 years because hopefully I will have changed. I will have grown up and, you know, learnt new things and incorporated these things into my life so that I, in fact, am a different person than I was or will be in. So in the future, I'll be a different person to what I am now. And so this process is helps us to not become attached to things as they are right now, which we have tendency to because we want stability and we want knowing and we think that if we grasp onto things, then we will have that. So it said that the path of life is formed by the tracks of the hooves of the horse of death. And Saturn represents death, but not only death, but the life that emerges through death. So as I said before, life and death are inseparable. Now, Jofra writes about this sign and how he depicts this sign in his artwork. He says, this sign represents waiting for the new rising sun, which is born through the death of the evening. So every day that the sun sets, it's like a death, and then we wait for the new day and the sun rises again. So continuing on, the background of the picture forms a great skull, a symbol of death, through which the sun rises. The sun's rays push the darker firmament aside to cast a golden gleam over the rocky landscape. This return of the light brings new life with it, illustrated by the small children breaking loose from the Saturnian rocks, and similarly by Apollo, the sun god who wrenches himself away from the clutches, crushing the snake Apep, Egyptian symbol of darkness, under his foot. The sun hero Hercules also pins a crocodile down under his foot, an Egyptian symbol analogous to Apep, while he squeezes a snake to death in his other hand. As archer in the former sign, which is Sagittarius, he aimed his arrows of thought at a raised target. Now he should realize these ideals in steady, hard work. The goat climbs higher and higher up the mountain and does not rest before reaching the lonely peak. There is, however, a firm law of nature that every action summons up a counteraction. So here too, Capricorn native meets his Saturn, his opponent. It is a generally held misconception that Saturn is a maleficent and cursed planet. In fact, it only brings misfortune in the materialist sense. Spiritually, the opposite is true. Saturn, the crystallizing principle or chronos, time, provides opposition through which each work is judged and eventually finds its correct form. Saturn, who brings us the obstacles and problems, is the great teacher and initiator. So there's lots of interesting teachings in those passages I just read from Jofra. He relates back a sign from Sagittarius, has high ideals and is aiming for a particular target. And now in Capricorn, we need to put in that work to achieve those goals. And like any goal we try and aim for, there's always resistance. There's always opposition in one way or another. And so this sign is about working to overcome these oppositions and to triumph, as we see the mountain goat is at its peak and, you know, it seems like he's reached the top, reached his goal at the top of the mountain with the sun raising up, but then that element of the skull and death in the background. So really accentuating that link between death and life. And I'd like to continue to talk about that aspect. But we'll go to a short music break. And I've chosen the track from Holst Planets, Saturn, a bringer of old age. And it's interesting because, as I said, Saturn or Kronos is the elder of time. So we'll just play the first half of this track, and then I'll come back and continue on the topic. Welcome back to the program. Tonight's topic is Capricorn, or a view of the sign of Capricorn. So now the key word associated with this sign is obstruction. And we were just talking about this before, how we want to achieve something and we meet opposition in one form or another. And this is also called an obstruction. We come across things, and they can be internal blockages, like we don't think we can do something, we don't have confidence or faith in our capacity to do something, or it can be an external blockage, like, you know, we lack money, or someone won't help us, and, you know, we've got a blockage to get to what we want to do. Now, Saturn is the bringer of challenging situations that we need to overcome that test our determination and our dedication. So sometimes I think that we have these blocks to, test how much we really want something, and we'll keep at it. Or do we just give up at the first sign of difficulty? Saturn tests us in these ways by making things more difficult, which is why there is that misconception mentioned before that it's a cursed planet. It's not that. It just brings us the challenges that we need to solidify what it is that we actually want. And also it helps us to overcome this idea of time, because Saturn, Kronos, is related to time. And generally, if we want something and we have the patience and tenacity to get it, then we will essentially keep persevering, even if we have to wait for something, we have to wait for something to happen to enable us to move to a next step. We overcome, in a sense, the idea of time, because we know, okay, I might not get what I want today or tomorrow, but I will be achieving it eventually. And then I relate this to the spiritual path and attaining unification with our divinity. It's something that we strive and we yearn for. We want the clarity, the discernment, we want the compassion and all those virtues that we aspire to have that are of our being, of our divinity. We want to be one with our divinity so that we know our purpose and that life makes sense. But we need to have patience before we can attain that level for many different reasons, you know, primarily the ego and karma and all these things that we haven't overcome yet. But with patience, we overcome the factor of time, because we continue to work and work and work and, in a way, let go of the results of achieving what we want, and then it naturally will happen. So we transcend time in that respect and therefore reach success and the exaltation. So I wanted to just continue reading from Jofra on this matter of overcoming adversities. He says, "No work can be called complete that has not been expressed in firm matter and has not withstood the test of time. Initiation takes place in the cave, in the deepest depths of the kingdom of Saturn. All gods and heroes were born, hidden, or brought up in rocky caverns at a time when the light was at its weakness. Mitre, for example, Hermes, Zeus, Apollo, Dionysus, and even Christ, who came to earth in a rocky stable. And this is why Joffre painted Saturn as Father Time in front of a cave, a gateway. So we need to go into those deepest depths to be able to come out into the light again. So we need those difficult circumstances to really test us and to really bring out our strengths and our virtues. Now, I wanted to talk a bit about the Christ and Christmas, because it's interesting that this sign is around the time of Christmas, but I'll get to that a bit later. What I wanted to reflect on is also the time of the new year, which is upon us in a few days, or if we're listening to the recording, maybe it was a few days ago. So New Year is generally a time that people make New Year's resolutions. So they're resolutions that we're going to do in the upcoming year. So this year I'm going to exercise more, going to quit smoking or quit drinking, or if we're on the spiritual path, maybe we're going to do more meditations in our day or go to yoga or something like that. And I was reflecting on resolutions and what are they, but the death of something old, so we're giving up our time for the birth of something new. So we're giving up our time to go for a run. We're giving up a bit of our time watching television to do a meditation practice. So we're dying to one thing and we're being born to something else. So we can reflect, what do we need to end so that something new can start? And it's really quite interesting that Capricorn is around the time of when we celebrate the new year, because often we think, or at least I think, oh, it's a good time to start something. And not just because we have New Year's resolution, but, you know, that the year ticks over, we write the new year with the date, and we've just gone through Christmas, and, you know, generally we have a lot of public holidays, and so it's a time to be able to go inside and reflect on what we want to change in the new year. So the energies of Capricorn are perfect for achieving this. So I wanted to go through some of the characteristics or traits that Master Samael talks about when he talks about Capricorn and the natives of Capricorn. So he says that they have an aptitude for teaching, that they suffer a lot, but have a great sense of duty. They're practical by nature, always go through great suffering in their life, particularly in love, and often go through a betrayal. The moral pain of Capricornians is terrible. They suffer a lot. Fortunately, their practical sense of life saves them and allows them to overcome the bitterness of life, or what life can throw at them, which is a great teaching in itself. You know, keeping things practical, even if we're feeling like really low internally, we keep going, do what we have to do, and things do eventually pass. So continuing on, Capricorns are always very much preoccupied with tomorrow. Their principal worry is about the economic aspect of life. The natives of Capricorn are melancholic as the willow. They have a great sense of their own moral responsibility. The women of Capricorn are magnificent wives, faithful to death, industrious, hardworking, and patient. Capricorn is an earth sign. It's fixed, stable. However, the natives of Capricorn carry out many journeys, even if they are short ones. The natives of Capricorn become very attached to things, to money, and some even become very avaricious. So when we look at the traits, generally speaking, of the native of Capricorn, we can see that there is that strong influence of Saturn. And Saturn, melancholy, and, you know, difficulty, might see life as difficult, but again, when we can overcome these, then we will triumph. So they're kind of that practical side. And of course, being of the earth element, they are, you know, able to have that practicality ingrained in their way of being, and this helps them a lot. So earth sign can and generally be very practical, hardworking, industrious and all that. Now, I wanted to talk a bit about this sign being at the time of Christmas, because Christmas is celebrating the birth of Christ. So again, is that element of birth. And so everyone's happy and cheerful, despite being in Capricorn, when it's quite a melancholic energy, you could say. And so again, it brings that life-death concept back. And so whilst the Christ has born around this time, something has to die. So he comes to the world and he's very revolutionary and you know, invites people to follow his path and to make changes to be able to help ourselves. And he inevitably dies on the cross. Now, the perfume that's related with Capricorn is the pine extract. And then the pine also relates to the Christmas tree that we put up. And I talked about this last year when I did the symbolism of Christmas around this time. And if you missed that, you can go back and listen to the recording. But I mentioned and talked a bit about the element of pine because it relates to Capricorn. It relates to Christmas, obviously, because of the Christmas tree. It's also associated with the mind, and it helps us, our mind, to regain its childlike nature, because our mind needs to be more simple. It needs to be more receptive. So normally we use the mind in a very projective way. We project and use the mind for fantasy, but the true nature of our mind is to receive, to be simple, ordered, and to be used as a delicate and sensitive instrument of our inner divinity, and not for it to be a chaotic monkey mind that takes us everywhere. Our mind at the moment just absorbs things. It absorbs things all the time, impressions from television, media, advertising. We're always absorbing a lot of information in the mind, so it's hard for us to regain that childlike nature. And again, referring back to the Christ who was born, and we celebrate the birth of Christ, we can also relate that to regaining that innocence or the essential nature of our mind, which is something that's very simple and natural and not very complicated. So in a way, we're reconquering our infancy, so much like the child Christ born at this time. We also want to regain our essence. And what better time to do it than at Christmas, when we see kids get so excited, or not just kids, adults as well, but kids in particular. They love Christmas, and obviously it's the presents too. But also, yeah, it's that time to come together as a family and to sacrifice as well. I mean, someone mentioned this the other day, which I'd never really thought about. Christmas is a time of sacrifice, particularly when you're giving and buying presents for people. Not saying that you have to. For many years, I never really bought presents for anyone, but there is that aspect of giving, and we relate that back to with the gifts that the three magi gave to the Christ child. So is that idea of sacrifice, and also to make the time to come together with our friends and family can also be a sacrifice as well, especially because often people may have disagreements, but sometimes it doesn't always go so well. But, you know, there's still that intent to get together and to reconnect and to celebrate. And so, yeah, it's a good time to reflect on those values of Christmas. But yeah, primarily here about working to activate our essence, our innocence, and yeah, to keep the mind passive and just relaxed and natural. Okay, well, we'll go to the second music break, and this is the second part of the track from Hulse Planet, Saturn, Bringer of Old Age, and then we'll be back to do the meditation practice. Okay, we're back. We're about to enter into a meditation practice for tonight. We'll be doing a practice related to the sign of Capricorn. So getting ourselves in a position where we can sit for the next 15 minutes. Or lie down as we are able to, or even if we're sitting in a car, just to sit, take some deep breaths, give the opportunity for the body to relax itself. Becoming aware of the areas that we hold tension in the body. Could be in the shoulders, in the neck, in the face. Allowing the breath that we inhale to unify the body, the mind, and the spirit, or the essence, we could say. Allowing the breath to bring us into the moment, and not to be worrying about the past, the day we've had, or the future, what will happen in the future after the practice. What is most real to us is the present. Meditation helps us to become comfortable with the present. So continuing working with the breath. Allowing any thoughts to come and go, not thinking about the thoughts, just letting them flow through us. And trying to extend that silence between the thoughts. Feel ourselves relaxing, bringing our attention to a certain point. It can be the breath, it can also be the heart, the beating of the heart. By concentrating on this point, we can achieve that balance of relaxation and concentration. If it helps, we can also concentrate on an image like a candle flame, or on a calm ocean or river. now with the practice of Capricorn, it's suggested. We imagine the magnetic currents that ascend from the earth, that pass through the sieves of the feet, continue along the calves, and when they arrive at the knees, they become charged with the lead of Saturn, thus acquiring solidity, form and strength. So imagining that force of Capricorn giving us that strength in the knees, in the bones, in the skin. Internally, we ask our inner divinity to connect us with the constellation of Capricorn, the conscious beings from the constellation of Capricorn, asking for help to awaken the chakras and powers of the knees. We can also ask for healing in these areas. Imagining that force of Capricorn going through the bones, particularly the knees. Giving us that strength and stability. The patience. The determination to overcome difficulties in our life. To give us strength not to shy away from difficult circumstances, obstacles. Give us that patience and tenacity to keep going, to overcome time, to be able to achieve our goals. Let's also reflect on our own life and our own death. That the person we are today is not necessarily the same person we will be tomorrow. Reflecting on the changes that we go through in life. the process of aging. Of growing. And eventually of dying in the physical sense. But also reflecting on the continuation of our life after death of the physical body. Although we may not know what that life after death will be like, we can feel in our hearts that we will continue. In one form or another. With every death there is a birth. With every birth there is a death. Trying to feel connected and at peace with this process. Briefly, let's look at any New Year's resolutions we may have. What is it in us that needs to die for something new to be born? Is there a habit we need to stop? We can imagine ourselves not doing that habit. Seeing ourselves incorporating the new activity, the new habit. For a short while longer, trying to gain with the consciousness some comprehension of the process of life and death. Ideally, a practical understanding of how we can incorporate this into our life to not fear death. To not fear life, not to fear change, embrace it. As the sun sets, the sun also rises. Okay, so we're in the practice or reflection there.